Hi guys, good evening. Welcome to the latest edition of Strictly Sports Podcast. I'm AKA. So I have with me Charles and KB. Welcome guys. What's up?
Yo.
What's
up?
Yeah,
not
yeah,
much,
welcome,
man.
Welcome.
All right. So Omo, a lot has been going on here. Yeah? A whole lot.
Yeah.
I mean, with the end of the season, I don't think we've had a podcast after the Champions League. Well, I don't know if we've talked about it in detail and all that. So we're just going to go through a season roundup. This is basically just a season roundup, and yeah, we'll go from there. So guys, what's up? How did both your teams do this season?
Considering the financial issues we've had at Barcelona, and the board issues too, the administrative issues, I think Xavi has he really tried. He did a good job in bringing Barca back. He brought back momentum. He brought back a fighting spirit, and I think the plan he has towards the end of the season, trying to bring back Dembele to deal with the fans and everything, it was very good. So I would say on a good note, we at least achieved something. Not really something great, but at least it's a good path towards becoming back a great club. So I feel it's not something to be really proud of, because I know we should be in a far better state than this, but at least it's a progress. Yeah. It's step by step progress, and you can see that.
I love the fact that you're already explaining yourself.
you asked for 100
Yeah,
and I gave you
one. It's fine. Yeah, I get I appreciate your opinion.
Barcelona actually tried, I swear.
You know that the world doesn't care. You know the world is actually happy that you're having financial issues. It's not anybody's problem. Because of mismanagement, nobody really cares. So I don't know, I'm just saying.
I'm with you, because
I will happily drink your tears. You had a terrible season, terrible, nothing short of terrible. You lost to Frankfurt, entering Frankfurt. No disrespect to them, they deserve to beat you. You were a bad team this season. It's just that Spain is a terrible league right now. That's why you were able to take second for terrible season.
I was equally happy when Messi left Barcelona this season. I was just waiting for everything to just capsize, for their team to capsize. But okay, for my team, I actually do not have a team. I'm a chameleon these days. So
I don't understand what happened to Manchester United.
Smart.
Manchester, what? Akachuku taught me, I beg. Iki taught me. So I'm a Bayern Munich fan, and you know how it is. We won the league 10 seasons in a row. It doesn't happen anywhere now. Only in Bayern.
Is that unprecedented? Has it happened a lot of times?
I think it happened in Italy too.
Generally, not just in Germany.
I think Juventus did it too.
Before
they got dethroned by Inter Milan. I think Juventus did it.
Yeah, even PSG too, they would have done it if not for Mbappe's Monaco.
Monaco, actually.
I think they were on 7 or so. They just missed it. But anyways, you don't see it anywhere. Bayern are the best in Germany, and it's just unfortunate that they couldn't replicate it on the European stage this season. But next season, the sky is the limit.
But now, do you realize that there's no Lewandowski? Most likely, I don't know.
It's not certain yet, but it's possible.
Okay. But I've even thought about it. If Lewandowski goes, which striker are Bayern going for?
Maybe they are going for Gnabry playing top 9 or something. Maybe just because. Because I don't see Müller has never been a vocal striker. He's not too, he's never.
But I don't know. I just feel like it's Nagusman. Like, he's that kind of guy that maybe Botman needs to use him as a striker, or you push Nabry to the striker role. He's just that kind of guy.
I get the vibe too, I guess. So, it's Germany. So, I don't see them facing too many struggles there.
It's fine. So, what do you guys have to say about AC Milan being the new crown champions of Serie A?
Really, really, really extremely happy for them. Like, they deserve it. I'm so happy for all of the young guys. I love them. I actually loved two Milan teams, to be honest. But, like, I was happy for Inter last season. And right now, I'm really happy for Milan. They deserved it. Fully, fully deserved it.
Perhaps maybe this is a new dynasty. Maybe the Milan clubs are taking back the charge from the
dynasty.
Maybe it's going to just start like a Milan dynasty. No, I said the start of a Milan dynasty.
The start.
This is the second season that a Milan club is winning the Scudetto.
You're right.
And they have young guys.
So I think this was Allegri's first season back. I think, like, Allegri is a specialist in Italian league, like in Serie A. So I expect him to do way better next season.
When you compare the quality of teams, do you think Juventus can match up with Inter Milan?
Definitely.
They just need a few signings, bro. They just need a few signings. Look at their forward line. They just bought to sign in January, bro. That's a crazy goal scorer.
Kulusevski left them, you know, so maybe he lost, considering how he performed that person.
Okay, Vlahovic, that's the person I'm talking about.
No, I know. I'm saying
Kulusevski. Well, I don't know. I just feel next season, potentially you would expect them to make a few signings. I would expect like a 3-horse race
Allegri
next season. Yeah.
And you have
to I would expect
Napoli did well this season. So the final three games where things started going sour for them. But besides then, they were also in the title discussion for a long part of the season. So I think for now, it is kind of open. It's not closed as it used to be again.
Yeah, it's nice. I think that's why maybe it's more fun for us, because for me, it's more fun to follow, because like there's way more competition than in Germany or
in France.
In Spain, it's just been Madrid and Barca. This season, just been Madrid, like, because they are obviously way better than everybody else. But and then the French league, you have the next season is even going to be worse. Like, they probably win the league. Like, 28 games
or
25 games.
Why do you feel so?
What, bro,
we don't. I don't. I feel they want to sack Pochettino, or let me say we know they want to sack Pochettino, but they've not said anything about. I know that. Okay, it's already sacked. I know they are trying to get one guy from. Is it Reims or I've forgotten the name of the club in League One.
So like what Madrid obviously deserved champions, like. Definitely deserve. Frankfurt, shocking. I don't know. At the beginning of the season, nobody would have thought about Frankfurt winning the Europa League, but they did deservedly, like really, really deservedly, obviously. Yeah. What do you guys think about the European champions? And then, obviously, Jose.
Jose Mourinho. So, the Champions League, like, Real Madrid just showed their experience in the 3 knockout ties, that starting from the quarterfinals down to the finals, they just showed their experience. And just after,
was it from the quarterfinals? I think it was from the round of 16.
Against from the round of 16.
Yeah. Oh, it was actually just from the round.
Shows like why they are the best team in Europe, like all
time. In fact, it wasn't even from the round of 16. It was from the group stage. It was from the group stage actually. Because I know I think they lost.
So they only lost the opening tie. So that match, that quick match to Sheriff, after they lost that match, everything, the qualified.
But to be fair, they had an easy group. They had probably the easiest group they could have dreamed of, probably. So, like, but definitely they now showed, like, from, and the funny thing, I've said it before on the podcast, like, it was shocking to me how in every round they were probably the underdogs. Like,
yes.
the way it was like on social media, and I'm like, bro, this is Real Madrid, how can you say Chelsea have a better chance? Anyways, in hindsight now, like, I could just be saying it because I we've seen the results, but I'm sure I said it before. Like,
no, it happens. I don't even know
why.
Like, especially, you know, the match with Chelsea, if you compare the squads, like, pound for pound, each player, position by position, I don't see Chelsea players coming out on top. Like, they are front line already.
No, I don't. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't. Like, but you know, there's so much hype about England. There's so much hype about England. Like,
I don't know why. Maybe someone has tell this guy.
It was like that. I think Akachuku, to be more precise, Aka complained a lot, and it was like, why is Madrid always the underdogs, and why, what are they doing? Like, what's the whole plan? Didn't you see what they were saying towards the final? Like, even the final, they didn't really give Madrid a chance. It was all Liverpool. I think it was just
I think even as you mentioned it, for me, I know that it was always, I always said it was 50-50. Like, if so, I lose it, Omar,
there's one other funny thing that happened, right? It was just that if you watch the matches, it wasn't like Madrid dominated, especially the ones that they actually did the comeback. The ones that had them do the comeback, it was not like maybe they were dominating, but results were going against them. Then they came back. No, they were like performing poorly. It was like they were about going out. Something would just happen.
No. I won't say they were performing.
To their standards, they were performing poorly. Did you watch?
They were below.
The only second leg.
They were below their normal match.
Yeah, sure. I think Chelsea match second leg.
I think maybe perhaps Chelsea, maybe these guys go counted, and Marcos Alonso counted. They might have gone out because it's a totally different thing from us.
Yeah, I know the place, the only real time when I felt they were like under threat of going out was in the two, both in the semi final and the quarter final, second leg, probably second half. Because other than that, I wasn't really. Man City at home against Man City, like, I think they got a good result in the first leg. It was an okay result, and even in the first half, like, you would still feel like Madrid would still. But the thing is, people's minds was already programmed like Madrid are the underdog. So once they go one goal down, people's head is, oh, these guys are out already. But Real Madrid, so I'm glad.
They went 2 goals down against PSG. They went 2 goals down against what's this guy's name? Man City.
Man
City was even worse. They went 2 goals down against Man City. It was 5-3.
90 plus.
90 then 90 plus. They made it just hasn't. Like, so
I get you. I won't say they played poorly per se, but they just played their game. They played their game, and their mentality, like I say, is just really crazy. You see someone like Cavani, he's not really rated enough, but I know in the final, to me, he was the best player, and he has shown for the past how many seasons now that he's a top right back, but he's not talked of nearly as much as you hear people talk about Alexander Arnold or Rich James or the likes of all these players. So it's just crazy. Like, Cavani is very excellent right back, right? And that's just
what excellent.
You know, you can go around the team and you start seeing that there are excellent players all over.
Look at their midfield, excellence with experience, and then they just had the perfect mix with like youth and experience and like energy.
Yeah.
Because even in their defense, like, there's so much energy. There's Militao. There's Alaba. There's Mendy. These are all like energetic guys that have experience. Like, Alaba is probably one of the most experienced left backs around. you have Courtois, you have Modric, bro, Casemiro. Like, these are all, and then you're going forward, you now have Vinicius that is just perfect. Like, with all these guys you just mentioned.
Then,
like,
then you have Pickens.
But yes, then, so... do you know I just realized that, okay, like, the question with Vinicius was always, like, would he be mature enough and get that finishing, just take like extra steps, right? That was always like the question, yeah.
Because he was always complaining about Vinicius' end product.
That's what I'm saying, everything Vinicius did this season, he has been doing it.
It's just the end product. So just end product that was missing.
Yeah, so that step, that was always the doubt in people's mind if he would take that last step. But then we didn't really consider, or me, I didn't really consider that he's playing with like some of the most experienced and skilled professionals that are playing the trick. So like, yeah, so I guess the odds of him taking that step were always high with his talent. I'm happy for him though. Now it's just about being consistent.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a Barcelona fan. I don't know. I wish him the best.
Wait, KB. Do you think Fati is better than Vinicius?
Right now, Vinicius is definitely better than Fati.
What do you mean right now?
Right now, jeez, man, jeez.
Well, I mean right now, presently.
I don't feel Vinicius has better. What do you mean right now?
No, I didn't feel Vinicius has always been better, but right now, give it to Vinicius. Give it to Vinicius. Why feel Fati will bounce back?
Baka fans always bust my head, I swear.
Baka fans. Rodrigo is better than Fati.
Right now, yes. Yeah. No problem. Fati has
not been. It's not right now.
Leaving that aside. What do you have to say about...
They are Brazilians, oh, bro. They are Brazilians.
So, for the fact that they are Brazilians. That means Fred.
Bro, okay, it's okay.
So what do you think about Italy winning the UEFA Euro but not qualifying
in
for
Italy? I'm talking of
Italy now. Italy won Euros now.
I don't know. Didn't qualify for World Euros. The thing is, the qualifiers wasn't, I don't know, they really messed it up. I don't know what happened to all their players at that their match against Macedonia. Macedonia.
Yeah, it was against Macedonia, yes. But even before they had like two matches that Jorginho missed penalties, that if they had maybe won, they would have qualified or something.
Yeah. All right. It's not like we blame
Jorginho, right?
No, yeah, I'm not blaming him. I'm just like the other matches that could have won.
No, I'm just on Swiss style. I know KB doesn't blame him, but I know some people would blame him.
Yeah,
very weird thing considering he's not your forward or he's not responsible for the rest of the team.
And then we finally got to witness Messi lift another major trophy for Argentina, which served as a delight to a lot of Argentinians, if there's anything like that, and they were really happy. It's something to be proud of, like winning something for your country. So I was really happy for them when they won the Finalissima trophy. That was the trophy between the winners of Copa America and the winners of Euro. It was a very good experience. Do you have anything to say on that?
There's so much to be said on this, but I'll just ask you. When Arsenal used to win the, what they call it, Community Shield, you see them jumping, shouting, celebrating like mad people?
They celebrate. I've never seen anything win Community Shield without celebrating in my entire life.
Yeah, yeah.
So they celebrate.
Okay, so you know how it is.
For real?
Please tell me one team that won competition that did not celebrate. Just one.
Celebrate like that?
How did they celebrate? They celebrated the normal way. I don't see
anything wrong. They didn't.
Okay.
They did not. They celebrated like they won a major trophy. It's not even a minor trophy, it's just like a friendly trophy.
You all saw the way they celebrated. Nobody said anything.
Like winning the Audi Cup. bro.
Oh,
you
Charles.
Know this other cup, International Champions Cup.
Charles.
They play 70 countries.
Yeah, an Emirates Cup.
Hello, hello, Charles. I yes, said I when Portugal won the Nations League, they celebrated like they won the World Cup. Nobody said anything.
No. Let me tell you something.
Do you know that was mean?
It's not like that finalissimo. You know, right?
Ah, Nations League is a glorified friendly now. Even the players are talking about it like they don't.
Nations League that involves like how many games? Finalissima is one match. One.
Nations
it's just a friendly tournament.
Nations
these guys were celebrating Messi, raising their agenda.
Look at it this way.
Or not.
The Nations League is more like. Kevin, look at it this way.
Is it what did Kevin De Bruyne call Nations League?
Chill.
Okay.
Kevin just said, hear me out.
Yeah, I can.
Nations League is the Carabao Cup of Europe, of European tournaments. Then the
I don't think Nations League is Carabao.
The Euros itself is like.
Was Carabao Cup a friendly match? No!
The finalissima is the friendly community that was shield. Like. Did you get my analogy?
Yes!
Bro, that's the best analogy I can think of.
Finalissima is community shield. Nations League is Carabao Cup. And then Euros is the FA Cup. So imagine that setting in England. The prestige that is being attached to this tournament. That's the exact same thing that should be attached to the Finalissima, the Nations League, and the Euros or the Copa America. So, I don't know, like, there's nothing there, guy. But the Nations League, you could see that they planned it out. This thing is
playing. Bro, like, this thing with an organizing tournament. Like just for Messi, bro. I don't even understand these guys.
This was a competition that existed.
These guys were jumping up. Why did they win the World Cup? Is there another World Cup that we don't know about? Like, what did these guys win? How far, bro?
This competition that existed.
That's good. Congrats to Messi, and it's a great trophy to win. Don't mind me. I'm happy for you.
You were saying something.
I said this was a competition that existed before. It was last one by Diego. So I don't know why. And they brought it back. Even before they played Copa America. They were already discussing it.
Nobody has anything against it. It's always nice to have
back for Messi. It's kind of unbelievable. It's kind of absurd because they planned this.
That's just bans, obviously.
But like you know what I mean, bro. Like if any other person had won it, we probably wouldn't have known the day that match was played. Do you know, Charles? If was any other person. Like maybe Uruguay, nobody would say anything, bro. These guys were as if I don't even think World Cup. Like,
you know there was a headline. There was a headline before the tournament started where one of these sports sites. They said that it is a friendly final. After Argentina won it, they said a major trophy. My guys, how far?
It's messy, sir, so it's fine.
So, anyways, I think we should just talk a bit about the NBA.
Nice seeing my guy get his fourth ring. And now I think he has comfortably entered the top 10 of all time in NBA.
Comfort what?
Talking about Stephen Curry.
Okay, so. I don't know if we are going to have that discussion about Curry entering the top 10 just yet. There's going to be a lot of time for that.
Yeah, but sure.
Nobody really gave them a chance, right? If you look at them last season.
Honestly, it was really sad because I don't know why people just...
In the West. Yeah. Curry was injured almost throughout last season too. So, I would understand that Curry's influence on the team definitely can't be overstated. It's just way too much. They now add the fact that he came back, even though Clay wasn't his usual hostile force, he just came back at the right time and just gave them that call. You know, the Clay Clay, Curry, Draymond, Paul that he had has been dynasty, right? So
yeah, actually,
they were just everything just works for them. They also had their support staff just doing exactly and fitting into the system very well. Like you see Jordan Poole, he just came in and already came the flash triplet by me. He just came and he started contributing. You see Kevin Looney, you see Gary Payton, even all these players, they weren't necessarily stars, but they just fit into Steve Kerr's system. So it was really nice seeing what they accomplished, considering where they were last season. It was really crazy. And Boston Celtics. I don't know.
Akas guys, Jason
Wiggins.
I love them, and I'm really proud of where they got to. But obviously, like, they didn't have enough experience. What differentiated both teams was experience
but you were saying like it was going to be like you walk over, like you're going to sweep Golden State.
Yeah,
like,
it's
difficult for Golden State.
I never for once said it was going to be a sweep. Never.
Wow. Okay. After the fourth game.
No, it's fine. KB is fine. Never. Let's just let this guy. You apologize. Receipts must come out. We bring our
receipts. I'm not apologizing for shit. Like, I'm proud. I'm so proud of my team. Pardon my language. I'm so proud of my team, like, bro. But I'm happy for Curry too. Like, I'm happy for Golden State. And I think one person that's really gone under the radar is Steve Kerr. Like, the players have been taking all the credit. Deserve it. But, like, Steve Kerr needs to take, like, a lot of credit. He's one of the, like, all-time great coaches in the NBA, in my opinion. Yeah, I know everybody knows he's great. But, like, this season, like, I didn't see so much, like, praise. And, bro, like, 2-0 down against 2-0 down against Celtics, like he turned it around, and like Steve Kerr. So good one for Golden State and Curry and Klay. Like, Klay turned up in the finals, so like, well,
he came at the right time for them.
He played well in the final. Like, he wasn't like spectacular or anything, but he was solid. Even defensively, he stepped up his game like crazy. Like, even Curry defensively, they did well. They did so well. Cause what changed was that defensively they got so much better. So Celtics were struggling to create offense. Like, in the last two games, especially, they were really struggling to create any offense. So like, that was the issue. So credit to Golden State and Steve Kerr especially.
Yeah, I think Celtics just, I don't know, there is a combo. The combo that's the crucial moment.
It's not like combo, it's just experience at that level. Like, these guys have Draymond Green. Like, they've won, this is their fourth, like, bro.
No, I get that. No, you can't ever exchange experience. The same thing that happened in Real Madrid. Similar to what happened in Real Madrid, so.
Once the quality is almost on par, like, experience is just that thing, but like, tips, skills.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I think we've covered as much as we'd like, and what do we have now? Okay, we have a quiz, right?
Just brief roundup of what has any remarkable thing that's happened this week.
Oh yeah, that's true. So
yeah,
Pogba released the Pogmentry. I think that was on Sunday, maybe Sunday or so. And it's just a documentary showcasing his life, giving us insights into his life. But there's a funny part of that documentary. Apparently, he didn't highlight too much of his time in Manchester United. The only key point that he put in that documentary was when he scored the two goals in the Manchester derby that season, where Man United just elongated the time, 6-1 the league. That was Mourinho's last full season, I believe. So that was the high point of his stay in Manchester, that he didn't put the Europa League that he won in his first season or the FA Cup. So I don't really know what his aim was, but it seems like he wasn't really pleased with his stay at Manchester United. But if you feel you're a Pogba fan and you want to see more about his life, you can definitely watch the documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. And can just get it there. Although, just a quick heads up, it seems like the reviews aren't so good, but he had the fan, I guess, so you should find something interesting out of it, definitely.
Yeah, it's just always interesting to have a, how do you put it, like a backstage view of players' lives.
Yeah,
it will be interesting to us that love sports and are like balls deep into it. It will be interesting for us, even if maybe it's not really interesting for an average person or an average, I don't know, in my opinion. Okay, so I'm looking forward to watching.
So about that interesting part, I don't know if you see interesting for sports lovers. It will be more infuriating possibly for Manchester United supporters. So
yeah,
it's probably it's the game, I guess. The game. So at least thank
the
God
game
I have
is
no
the
time.
Game.
I have no ties with that club anymore, so I'm making a million.
When ETH turns things around next season, like, let's not see it there, Sha.
I'll be there, bros. I will be there.
You exposed yourself.
With the way the transfer market is going so far, I don't know. It looks like he's going to be stuck with McTominay and Goons. So.
What's the problem? Like, everybody's signing players, although it's still June.
Man,
so,
you
like,
also signed Frankie de Jong now, so
why? Like, why?
I don't know.
Because ETH is right now. You anchor ETH's midfield. He knows how to use it. He knows how to get the best of him. So I don't have any problem with that transfer.
No, my own is.
And he's probably integral. No, he's. It might just be the first thing now. He's probably integral to the style of play he wants to implement there. Like, ETH is an, I feel he's an organized and structured guy. He would know what to do. He's not like all these ones that might be running around like headless chickens.
I get what you're saying.
When you're signing,
But he should also consider if he doesn't get Frank De Jong, because now I'm hearing reports that he wants to offload Wan-Bissaka. Possibly Maguire won't even get playing time as much as he has been getting. So all these key areas, like look at the team now, what to tell you, you can see that they need to be improvements. So you shouldn't just focus on
sure, that's why I said it's June. Let's not forget it's June. Yeah, we have July and June, August.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just that this season a lot of clubs are getting their business done early, it seems like. Yeah, that's true. Mane has, like, his deal to Bayern is done.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He has left. I mean, I thought I would be really sad, like, to see him go. I am, but it's not really sadness. Like, I'm happy for him. And I'm just, like, really, really appreciative of all the service, bro. Like, he's one of the best Liverpool players ever, in my opinion.
Sure.
Easily. Yeah. Like, he's one of our greats, so I don't have anything against. I love the replacement Klopp has brought in. I love Nunes. Like, I was in love with that guy, but I never thought we were going to sign him. I felt like he would go to maybe Man City or Man U, like even this season. And then I love that guy. I'm happy for both sides.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be really interesting season to look out for anyway. There's still a lot to be, like, a lot of transfers yet to be made. And then we'll see how the team line up towards the end of the transfer window. So, to wrap up, we have just a very brief quiz. Right?
So the quiz, like, I guess our listeners could tweet us at TSM or reply on any of our posts with the question. We'll also post it on Twitter, so like you could just reply under the post and we would drop the answer in our we'll talk about the answer in our next podcast. Yeah, so Charles, can we have the question?
Okay, so the question for today is, who scored the winner at the 2007 FA Cup final? So who scored the winning goal? So, just like Kaka said, you can post the answers on our social media pages and we'll discuss the answer in full. Just a bit of a run-up and just discuss the match, basically. So yeah, it's been a very wonderful one, guys, aka KB. So really nice chatting with you guys.
KBZU, the fan of the worst club in the world. Why do you support the worst club in the world? I hate Packers too much. Right, these last few years have been bliss for me.
Nice chatting
with you guys.
Yeah, all right, now I'm Munich are winning the treble next season. So, all right. It's been wonderful.
You pronounced Liverpool wrong.
Anyway, you want to. It's been a wonderful chat with you guys. Thanks for listening. Thank you all for listening. Bye bye for now.
All right. You're out.
All right, now.